Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
Good morning, Giants fans. We're coming to you with another very exciting episode of postseason Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper, along here with Giants insider Alex Pavlovich. And we're coming fresh off the Giants 1-0 win in NLDS Game 3 in Los Angeles. And I am hyped. Before we go any further, because I'm sure I'm going to forget, we have a lot to talk about. Giants Talk is brought to you by Wendy's. Get yourself a sausage or bacon, egg and Swiss croissant for $1.99 during breakfast hours. Alex, that was just classic Giants baseball torture. It was amazing. It was a hell of a game.
Are you as hyped as Vern Glenn, who is on the field, like probably 75 yards behind me? And I think mic might be picking him up. But
that voice I'm hearing is someone on the field right now?
That's Vern Glenn on the field, if you can hear him in the background.
That's incredible.
There, that's Vern Glenn, the great Vern Glenn. We all love Vern. He is just screaming by the Giants dugout. He really gets into those highlights. So
I love
Vern's
it.
Also hyped.
So if I were to tell you the Giants are facing Max Scherzer, they strike out 14 times and only get 3 hits, do you think they're coming away with a W in that game?
I could. We've seen them win other games this year where they struck out, like, I don't know, a ton. This is what they do. They strike out. They strike out a ton. So Scherzer was great. If you had told me before the game that Scherzer pitched that well, I probably would not have told you that they would win the game, just because it took a shutout, and that's what they gave him. And I think it took obviously a brilliant night from the bullpen and Alex Wood, but also Gabe Kapler, Andrew Bailey, JP Martinez, Craig Albernez, the guys who put together the plan. Like, that was perfect. They couldn't have done that any better. They got, you know, they turn it over to the bullpen in the fifth inning, and they get through the rest of their game using their 3 best guys.
It was just a masterful game from every single person you mentioned. But I think the person or entity that the Dodgers are currently blaming this game, this loss on, is the general concept of wind. What do you think about that? I mean,
I don't think they're
wrong. Knocking
down,
they're not. I mean, Gavin Lux thought he had that. And I think just mathematically he did have that if it wasn't for the wind. I saw someone on Twitter, I think it was the LOL CanBR account, called this the ghost of Candlestick, who came in to swoop this win for the Giants.
This is my 10th year on the beat. I've covered every road game at Dodger Stadium, which means I'm at 91 games here about. I've done some other games here. Like, this is by far the windiest I've ever seen it here. This is the windiest I've seen it at any ballpark since Candlestick. It was incredible. And it started before the first pitch. Like, I'm not even kidding. Food was getting blown off of plates in the press box. And
I mean, we're talking about balls getting blown back. We had a starting pitcher get blown over in the first inning. I've never seen that before.
It was on TBS, but the back girl ran out after LaStella walked to go get a pizza box that was blown around between Steven Duggar and Wade Jr. So this was the windiest night I've ever seen here, and I thought it played well into the Giants' hands just because there were a lot of right-handed batters on the other side. It's funny that it ended up being the left-handed batter, Lux, and that ball was gone. I mean, mathematically, it was gone. If you go back and watch, Steven Duggar at some point turns and has the look of a guy who's like, oh, I'm going to have to, like, jump up against the wall, and this is probably getting in the stands as I hang over the top of the wall. I mean, Evan Longoria, Brandon Crawford, they did the post-game presser. They both said they thought it was gone. Longoria said, my stomach sank when it left his bat. The game was tied, and then it wasn't. And it really is, like, it's going to go down as one of those things. We'll see where this season goes. But, like, we joke a lot on here about World Series DVDs and things like that. Like, this has its own chapter in the book. This has its own section of the World Series DVD. Like, the win game at Dodger Stadium is going to be something we talk about for years.
I love that. It's got a name already, the wind game. Well, the one person who wasn't
terrible name
affected by the wind was Evan Longoria. He broke out of that 1-for-35 slump with a huge home run. And his quote after the game was, if that ball hadn't gone out, he'd have just walked home. What was the energy like in the ballpark for that? Did that just silence the crowd? Because in my viewing, you know, I was in the car with my wife at the time. We just went nuts. I almost swerved off the freeway.
It was kind of a weird crowd tonight. And you and I disagreed a little bit about Oracle. Like, I guess I've just seen like crazier, and I've seen crazier here. I felt the same way. Like, good crowd, huge crowd, 53,000, loud crowd. But like, I've seen it louder here, I think. I don't know. I don't know what's been, maybe a Monday night crowd. Like, maybe that's what it is. I didn't think that really like killed them. I think they were into it at the end. But yeah, it wasn't like, I'll never forget Crawford's Grand Slam in Pittsburgh. Like, that sucked the air out of the entire city. Like, it was, I've
think
never
people,
seen anything like that.
People two or three blocks away from the ballpark in Pittsburgh went silent over their dinners without knowing what happened.
The air out of a stadium. Like, it wasn't quite like that tonight. And I think the fact that Scherzer was pitching so well, like, he kept him in the game. But to go back to Longoria, like, there was a lot of people who wanted him benched, and I thought he should have been out there just for his glove alone, just because it's been that good lately, and the guys they have behind him are not that good defensively. But for him to come up in that huge spot, you know, just, it's again, this team, like, the one run in this game comes from the guy who was like 1-for-35 before that and has looked completely lost for a couple weeks.
Just like they wrote it up. Well, I will say the TV call, no offense to the national broadcasters, but couldn't have been worse call for the one run of this rivalry postseason game. I was listening on the radio, like I said, John Miller crushed the call, but kind of a dud there on TV. Really makes you miss the hometown announcers.
People on Twitter, please stop complaining to me about the broadcast. I have no, I don't work for TBS.
I could have sworn you made the decision to bench Krug and Kipe for the playoffs. Was that not you?
No control over the. It's going to be like this the whole postseason. I know this is what we do, but like, people ask me questions like, "Why are they rooting for the Dodgers?" I'm like, "I don't know. I haven't heard a single word the entire night." So, by the way, if you hear more noise, that's them vacuuming up all the wrappers that have been blown around by the wind tonight.
This is a fun part of doing these late night podcasts. I get a glimpse of what Dodger Stadium's like at 11:30 at night.
There's a lot of rattling.
So beyond the win, beyond Evan Longoria, a couple of other major key factors tonight were the defense and the pitching. Let's talk defense a little bit. Center field, a lot of balls getting hit up there, and with so many balls getting knocked down by the wind, I felt like we saw some wild catches. Guys making a lot of last minute moves, second guessing their original jump. And both center fielders on both teams were crushing it out there.
Yeah. Chris Taylor is so good out there. Like, it's props to him. He does an incredible job. But Steven Duggar, like, they put him in the lineup without knowing that the wind would be this way. And they just, you know, I think they put him in there because obviously Bryant's not in the outfield. You get the good defensive outfield, another left-handed bat against Max Scherzer. But he was really good out there, and there were a couple balls that just kind of took off in the wind. There was that one ball to right center that he had to chase down. And I don't know, we were talking about in the press box, like, I don't know. Yaz and Slater maybe get there. Duggar just made it look easy. Like, this ball just took off with the wind and he just went with it. And I think you saw it on the last play too. Like, that's not an easy one. That's potentially I'm running full speed at the wall, then I have to stop. Like, you see guys sometimes trip there or lose their footing.
I almost thought he was going to. It looked like his legs were going to go out from running.
He kind of did, but it just – he made such a great play there. That's why I guess you can't have too many guys in there just for their glove, but I love when he's in the lineup too because he's just great out there. And just another, like, kind of inspired move to have him out there.
And then the catch that is going to be the one on that potential DVD is the Brandon Crawford catch in the seventh. Not quite as flashy as the Tauchman catch, but I'm giving – Crawford one war for that. That's how that works, right? You can just assign wars.
We got to give one to the wind too then. It's weird with Crawford because I feel like Twitter goes crazy every time he does something like that, and like people in the press box do. and I've covered almost every game he's played in his career. So for me, it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's like old hat. Like it, and I think he felt the same way. Yeah. I talked to him after the game, and he's a little bit like, yeah, you know, timed it well.
Business as usual.
Yeah, he always is, right? Like, he's just the coolest guy in the room. And but that was a huge play, obviously, and really that was a really tough decision for them. They knew they were going to bring Rodgers out of that game. They were trying to decide between McGee and Dom Leone. They went with McGee against two right-handers. He strikes out the first one. It backfires big time if that ball is 2 inches higher, mm-hmm. or Crawford has 2 inches less on his vertical. And he really saved a lot of angst in that dugout because they were really stressed over that move.
So let's talk bullpen there. Just segue right into it. Tyler Rogers comes in for one of the earliest appearances in his entire career. I think he's had one other fifth inning appearance, and it was in 2020. So the earliest.
The other one was
goes almost
game,
2 innings. So that doesn't count. That's
yeah,
a close.
Yeah.
So comes almost 2 full innings, 3 hits, no earned runs. Loving it. McGee comes in, gets the job done, gets out of that with the Crawford assist, and then Doval takes down the big beefy boys in the eighth, 2 full innings of ice in his veins. Is that his longest appearance by far?
I think he went 2 at some point.
Okay.
I would have to look it up. People were like referencing that after the game, and I was, but yeah, to do it at Dodger Stadium, to do it, you know, with a 1-0 lead, to get a save that way when you're 24 years old and just became the closer, like, It was incredibly impressive what he did. And I think, again, just like, you know, Rodgers, he went 2 innings on August 12th. So he's done this before. But, you know, that was against the Rockies. That's in a 7-0 game. Not quite the same. I talked to Tyler Rogers after the game on the field, and he was like, that guy's never getting a speeding ticket because he's just like the calmest guy in the room. And it's just incredible what he has done. And I think it's so huge to have that third guy. Like, obviously, they felt pretty good about Watson and Dominic Leone, but it's just different when it's this guy. Like, this guy who just doesn't give up runs and throws 100 and is a really tough matchup for people who haven't seen him before. Like, he's becoming, you know, early K-Rod. He's becoming these guys that we thought he might become that, but he has turned into that.
I cannot wait to see how he blossoms as a ball player in the San Francisco Giants uniform. I am so excited. Let's talk a little bit of Alex Wood. Did you know Alex Wood didn't give up a hit to a guy under 40 years old tonight?
Pujols got him twice. You know what's the coolest thing about Alex Wood is he did the press conference yesterday. And obviously he's like really close with all these guys. He played with them last year. He mm-hmm. played with them for 5 years total. And basically everybody, Dave Roberts, Gabe Kapler, Will Smith, like everybody was like, Alex Wood wants this. He is going to be out there until you have to pry the ball from him. Like, he's who you want in a big game. Like, even the Dodgers felt that. And I talked to some people I know who work for them today, and they're like, yeah, we know he's going to compete his ass off. We don't know how it's going to go, but we just know he's going to compete his ass off. So really kind of turned out to be the perfect guy to go up against Scherzer.
It was incredible. And, you know, I feel like he's just become our stopper, right? That's been his role this year. Giants
13
get a lot.
When he pitches after a loss.
That's just incredible. You know, that's never been a role I've considered a baseball team needing, but just keep a guy in the rotation. And when you lose, it's like, all right, Wood's up next. Throw in the stopper.
I don't think I've really written it much because it's one of those that's like, it's not like Alex Wood comes to the park and he's like, oh, we lost last night. Going to give it a little bit extra on the fastball tonight, you know?
Exactly. Let's crack my knuckles and let's do this.
I do think just in terms of a competitiveness, like, this is a tough situation. Game 3 is a huge swing game. Scherzer on the other side. Like, you need somebody who's not going to be afraid of the moment in front of 53,000 fans. And he just absolutely was not. And also, you know, we can briefly say the umpire was terrible. He was not fazed by that at all.
I was – the first inning, I kept reading every other inning how many strikeouts Scherzer has. And it was infuriating me. It's like, because half of those aren't strikeouts, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I think his strikeout pitches were mostly strikeouts. He was getting ahead in a lot of counts with basically the exact same pitch on the outside edge. It was 95 miles per hour. It had a little bit of run to it. And it's tough because the Giants don't go out of their zone. And you want to just kind of scream and be like, hey, this guy's zone is like 2 inches wider tonight. And he's especially giving him that zone on that fastball that has some run to it, but they just, that's not how they're built. So not a great situation for them, but they work through it.
So the guy behind the plate, I want to give some credit to, not the home plate umpire, is Buster Posey. This is Buster's 14th postseason shutout. We mentioned this the other night. Number two on that list is Yadi with like 8 or something, and Yogi Berra is right behind him. Buster, the Dodgers franchise has about 20 shutouts. Posey's got 14. He's just unbelievable what he does with his pitching staffs in the postseason.
Yeah, I thought it was funny earlier. There was some talk like last week. People were asking Gabe Kapler if Buster was going to catch every postseason game. And I was like, he's going to catch every postseason inning. What are we doing here? He catches every postseason inning. This is what he does.
Yeah, this is why he's on the team.
Yeah. He's here for moments like this. He is here to guide Rogers through a tough spot, McGee through a tough spot, Doval through two innings. This is what he does.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Do you want to talk a little game four going into this? Because I'm riding high right now. The torture has worn off. I think even after the Giants won this game, it took about 20 minutes for me to lose that stress. That ninth inning really got me, Alex. So now I'm starting to come up, and I'm ready to talk why the Giants are going to win game four. No problem. Can you explain to me why I should be worried?
Game one, and then like 24 hours later, we're sitting here and you're trying to make sense of it.
Every once in a while, I have one of those innings where despite the Giants winning, I say to myself, why do I follow this sport? I'm miserable right now. My team won and I'm miserable. Yeah,
it is. It's, you know, sometimes it's good to be the beat writer who has Camilo Duval's mindset and just kind of goes,
yeah, I guess.
I was literally 10 feet from the field like when this game ended, and I was just like, okay, let's go.
Business as usual. Look at you.
We need to do an interview. We need to do an interview here. So here's what I'll say about game four. Walker Buehler is going to start.
That's what it is, right? It's Desclafani versus a player to be named later.
The Dodgers players who came into the interview room expected Walker Buehler to start. Okay. Like, it's not like they have, you know, behind him is Tony Gonsolin. Like, it's not like Dustin May is sitting there or something. Like, it's they really, I don't think, have a choice but to start Buehler and then start Urias on normal rest in game five. I have thought all along this series was going five just because these two teams went to game 162. They went to the wire, 107 versus 106. Like, I just kind of always felt like this is destined to go five. I kind of thought it would be the other way. I thought Scherzer would shove tonight as he did, and the Giants would then, you know, as they have done when their backs are against the wall, pull it out. But I don't know. I think if it's Buehler versus DeSclafani, that's an advantage for the Dodgers tomorrow night, and their bullpen should be more well-rested. And I think we saw that they also do pretty well when their backs are against the wall. Like, they seem to be a team that needs to be pushed a little bit too. So I've always thought this is going five, but at this point, nothing with the Giants surprises me.
This is going four, and I look forward to not speaking with you on Thursday night.
Okay, I look forward to not speaking with you too.
No, I'm confident. I mean, I said the same thing after game one, though, right? Like, oh, Giants are going to sweep the Dodgers. So I'm riding high right now. I don't have that.
This isn't based on like math that you have. This is based on just, doesn't it just seem like these two teams are just destined to just keep the stance? I don't know.
Batman and the Joker, dude.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
We're destined to do this forever.
Yeah.
So we had Tom Cruise at Oracle Park. I'm not counting him as our resident San Francisco celebrity. So I'm going to count the game one celebs. Well, we had E-40, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, Chris Mullen, Barry Bonds. Celebs, LA celebs were out in force in the first game in LA. I think you said Jason Bateman was there. Don Johnson. I don't know who that is. Brad Paisley. A country music guy, I think.
Did I get that right? Don Johnson? I think it was Don Johnson.
Who's Don Johnson?
Yeah. He's an actor. Oh, yeah, this is
him. Old?
I'm Googling him. Yeah, he's old. Okay. He was in this is going to be like when you and I just said Tom Cruise was in Mission Impossible, and people were like, did you watch anything before like 1995? And we're like, no, we have not. He was in Nash Bridges.
Well, that's a San Francisco show too, right? I should.
So they showed
him
on the scoreboard, and they're like, "Don Johnson is here, Brad Paisley is here," and I just kind of was like, "That's what you got."
Like this. Yeah, I mean, you know who I did see was there was Coach Beard from Ted Lasso. But usually these LA games have big celebrity turnout. So I was expecting a little more from this.
I think maybe there's tomorrow. A sense here of like, this is, there's a sense that they've been through this a lot. And I've gotten this talking to people who have been here, like they've been through this a lot in recent years. And they, like, I think this series is not as big down here as it is in San Francisco.
Yeah. They're kind of like keeping the World Series weekend free on their calendars rather than the NLDS against.
Yeah. The LeBrons of the world, like they're not going to show up until the World Series, but they might.
All right. Well, let's take that off their calendar. Let's give them some free time in late October, early.
Yeah, I was disappointed by the celebrity crowd though.
Okay. Fair. I mean, we had Tom Cruise. Can't beat that unless they brought out the Fast crew, which, you know, would have been very disappointing.
Game one of the NLCS.
Well, thanks for tuning in to this late night Giants talk with Alex and I. We're going to be back with you after tomorrow's game to either celebrate a Giants trip to the NLCS or get mentally prepared for a very stressful game 5. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review if you would, if you're a fan.
Some people left reviews. I saw that. Thank you to those people. And by the way, I'm just going to sign off with this. Vern Glenn, still down there.
He's still down there. What a pro.
Just the best.